ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 10 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद द बेस्ट अमंग एक्साल्टेड डिवोटीज टेक्स्ट नंबर 66, 65 और 66। अतः शक्ति विश्वाभि शंभो प्रादानिकं यदा धर्म ज्ञान विरक्तृद्धि तपो विद्या क्रियादिभिः। टेक्स्ट 66। रतम सूतम ध्वजम वाहान धनुर्वर्म शरादियत सन्नुद्धो रतमास्ताय शरम धनुरुपादते। रतम ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डूइंग ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: Narada Muni continued, "Thereafter, Lord Krishna, by his own personal potency, consisting of religion, knowledge, renunciation, opulence, austerity, education, and activities, equipped Lord Shiva with all the necessary paraphernalia, such as a chariot, a charioteer, a flag, horses, elephants, a bow, a shield and arrows. When Lord Shiva was fully equipped in this way, he sat down on the chariot with his arrows and bow to fight with the demons." Purport: As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.16, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, Lord Shiva is the best of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Lord Krishna. Indeed, he is one of the Mahajans, the 12 authorities on Vaishnava philosophy. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumaro Kapilo Manu, etc. Lord Krishna is always prepared to help all the Mahajans and devotees in every respect. Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Although Lord Shiva is very powerful, he lost a battle to the Asuras and therefore he was morose and disappointed. However, because he is one of the chief devotees of the Lord personally equipped him with all the paraphernalia for war. The devotee, therefore, must serve the Lord sincerely and Krishna is always in the background to protect him and, if need be, to equip him fully to fight with his enemy. For devotees, there is no scarcity of knowledge or material requisites for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So I beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees in order to speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam. They are not qualified. So today, we are reading from the 7th canto, in which the description is coming that how Lord Shiva, in his fight against Mayadan, against the demons, like as we saw in the last few days, the demons were killed by Lord Shiva, but then Mayadana were, like, revived them by making them drink the nectar from the well. So then Lord Krishna came in the form of Lord Krishna and Lord Brahma came in the form of a cow and calf and drank the whole nectar in that well. So now Lord Shiva, then Lord Krishna equips Lord Shiva with powerful weapons, chariot, charioteer and bow and arrows, and encourages him to continue the fight against the demons in order to give protection to the demigods. So in this verse, so Prabhupada is explaining many nice points. First of all, he is explaining that how Lord Shiva is considered to be the topmost of all the Vaishnavas. In the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami explains Just like among all the rivers, Ganges is the topmost. And just like among all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost of all the Vaishnavas. Similarly, among all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost of all the Puranas. So Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Lord Vishnu. So we will see some of his glories from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Prajapati Daksha performed a sacrifice, that time, when he entered the sacrificial arena, all the persons who were in the sacrifice, they got up to receive Prajapati Daksha. But then, Lord Shiva did not get up because he was absorbed in meditating on the Supreme Lord. But Daksha was so much insulted by that, because he was already envious of Lord Shiva, but by seeing this act, he actually started blaspheming Lord Shiva. Then the whole, there was like cursing and counter-cursing started between the followers of Lord Shiva and between the followers of Daksha Prajapati. So then after that, Lord Shiva and everyone leaves. So later on, Daksha Prajapati was performing another sacrifice. So Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, she comes to know that like so many other demigods and like wives of the demigods are going to the sacrifice of Daksha. So she also wanted to go to the sacrifice. But then Lord Shiva gives advice that why you should not go, because he had already insulted me. So if you go, and especially if you are insulted by your own father, then it will be a brig. You will feel a lot of pain in your heart. So please don't go. But then still, Sati goes. But then when she goes, Daksha Prajapati insults more. In fact, Sati is considered to be the dearmost daughter of Prajapati Daksha. But still, Daksha did not even welcome Sati. Then, seeing that act, and then even in that particular sacrifice, Lord Shiva was not offered any oblations. He was not given his due share. So Sati becomes very much pained, and she actually quits her body. So as soon as she quits her body, then all the followers of Lord Shiva who accompany Lord Shiva, they become very angry. And then they actually start fighting disturb the whole sacrifice, and the fight starts between the followers of Lord Shiva and the Prajapati Daksha. Then Daksha is finally killed in the sacrificial arena. So after the this incident gets over, all the demigods who are actually in that particular sacrifice, actually they become, Lord Shiva also comes and fights, and then he kills Daksha Prajapati. So they were all very much afraid of the anger of Lord Shiva. So they immediately come to Lord Brahma to find a solution. Lord Shiva is so angry. We have committed an offense to Lord Shiva. Like, what is the solution for that? So then, there it is described that both Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu, they knew that such events would occur in the future. That is why they did not go to the sacrifice. Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, Vedaham Samatitani. How Krishna knows past, present and future. Similarly, Lord Brahma, who is also a devotee of Lord Krishna, he also knows past, present and future. That is why they did not go to the sacrifice, because they knew that such events would occur in the sacrifice. Then Lord Brahma starts giving advice to the demigods who came to seek a solution. Lord Brahma says that you cannot be actually happy in executing a sacrifice if you blaspheme a great personality and thereby offend his lotus feet. You cannot have happiness in the way. You are performing a sacrifice, but if you offend a great personality, actually you cannot get happiness. When His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining in one of the Bhagavatam classes, he was explaining very beautifully. He was actually narrating the pastime of Bali Maharaj. He was saying that after how after the Bali Maharaj actually surrenders to Vamandev, then Vamandev asks a question to Shukracharya. He asks, like, what is the fault in this sacrifice? That time Shukracharya says, Mantratas Tantratas Chidram Desha Kalarha Vastunaha Sarvam Karoti Nishchidram Anusankirtanam Tava. Shukracharya says that there may be discrepancies in the chanting of the mantras, there may be discrepancies in the following of the regulative principles, or there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place and circumstances. But all these discrepancies can be at once rectified if one simply chants the holy name of the Lord. Anusankirtanam tava. So, Maharaj is explaining, so when a person is performing a sacrifice, there may be so many faults, but all these sacrifices can be, all these faults can be rectified if one simply chants the holy name of the Lord. But the first offense to the holy name of the Lord is offending a devotee. So Daksha was performing a sacrifice and he committed the most important and the first offense to the holy name, which has the power to rectify all the faults in the sacrifice. Then what is the hope of such a sacrifice? So that is the point, that when a person is performing a sacrifice, but if one offends a devotee of the Lord, one cannot get happiness. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that he says that actually Lord Brahma is saying the punishment which is given to Daksha is actually proper. Daksha deserves to be killed. Because according to Manu Samhita, when a person commits a murder, actually he should be killed immediately. That is the greatest benefit done to the particular person. But we see exactly opposite nowadays, like when Devamrita Maharaj was here, he was telling a story once in Australia. One particular person was going to some other country through Singapore, but he was carrying drugs along with him. But Singapore is known for very strict punishment for those who actually carry drugs. So when he was going in the, like when he was there in Singapore airport, like suddenly he fell asleep. There was some time gap to catch the another flight. So he just fell asleep. So then immediately, suddenly got up, he realized that the next flight is just about to leave. So he immediately got up and then was rushing in to catch the flight. But he forgot to put the drugs out of his body. He was carrying in his own body. So it was detected in the security check. So immediately they checked that he is having drugs, etc. So because in Singapore the punishment is so severe, they immediately gave him death punishment. So then when the Australian government came to know, they were saying that after all he just carried drugs, he's not giving to others. So why should he be given such heavy punishment? And then there were so much of news in the newspaper, in the Australian newspapers. And of course Singapore government was very strict, and then they gave the punishment to him. But then the whole nation of Australia, they observed a moment of silence for this particular person who was given death punishment for smuggling a drug. He was saying that this is the nature of the leaders of the Kali Yuga. But whereas according to Manu Samhita, if a person commits a crime, the highest benefit you can do to the person is you kill the person immediately. Because when you prolong the punishment, you are going to get a much more severe punishment. So Brahma is saying that actually Daksha deserves to be killed. There is nothing wrong. The punishment which Daksha got is perfectly proper. So then Prabhupada says that those persons who are extremely offensive to the devotees and Lord, they are actually, when they are killed by the Lord, that is the extreme mercy of the Lord. Because if they are not killed by the Lord, they will actually suffer for many lifetimes. So that is the mercy of the Lord. So then Lord Brahma says that you have excluded Lord Shiva from taking part in the sacrificial results, and therefore You are all offenders at his lotus feet. So you offended Lord Shiva, but still, if you go to Lord Shiva without any mental reservation and beg forgiveness from Lord Shiva will definitely forgive you. Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh. Ashu means very soon. Tosha means satisfied. Lord Shiva is pleased by anyone very easily. So if you approach Lord Shiva without any mental reservation, he will be very easily satisfied. Then Lord Brahma says that Lord Shiva's anger is so powerful. And he is in charge of the process of annihilation. At the time of annihilation, he becomes so angry, and then he actually annihilates the whole universe. And at this time, he is also very sorry. He is very angry because he has lost his dear wife Sati. So he is very angry. So there is no other way except to surrender to Lord Shiva and beg forgiveness from him. So that is the only way. So then Lord Brahma says that not even myself or nor Indra or nor even the great demigods or the sages, they do not know how to please Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is such an exalted person that even the great personalities do not know how to please Lord Shiva. So under the circumstances, who would dare to commit such an offense to Lord Shiva? So in this way, Lord Brahma is actually telling the demigods the glory of Lord Shiva. And he's saying that you should immediately go to Lord Shiva and beg forgiveness from him. So Prabhupada says that, like, how do we know that if nobody knows how to please Lord Shiva, then how do we please Lord Shiva? So Lord Brahma says, although nobody knows how to please Lord Shiva, but still we know that Lord Shiva is very easily satisfied. Although we don't know how to please, but we know that Lord Shiva is very easily satisfied. So please go immediately and surrender to Lord Shiva. So then Shukadeva Goswami gives Maitreya Rishi gives a description of the Kailash Hill. So then, when the demigods approach Lord Shiva, it is described that Lord Shiva was sitting there with the four Kumaras and Kuvera, who is in charge of the treasury of the demigods. So the four Kumaras are perfectly liberated souls right from their birth. In fact, when Lord Brahma told them to marry, the four Kumaras refused to marry because they wanted to, they felt that maybe by getting married, they'll become entangled in the fruitive activities. So they refused to marry. So the four Kumaras were liberated from their birth. And Kuvera is the in charge of all the treasury of the demigods. So Lord Prabhupada says that the fact that Lord Shiva is surrounded by four Kumaras and the Kuvera, it shows that Lord Shiva has all the transcendental and material opulences. Because he's surrounded by such great personalities. And what is the form of Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva was seated in a deer skin and he was performing all forms of austerity. And his body was smeared with ashes, and just like a evening cloud. And his hair was having a sign of half moon. So Prabhupada says that actually these are not the normal dress which a Vaishnava would wear. So why is Lord Shiva having such kind of dress? Because Lord Shiva wants to deliver a particular kind of people. Those who are very fallen, especially the ghosts and hobgoblins. So in order to actually bring them to the path of devotional service, he dresses himself like one among them. Like once Prabhupada was explaining that there are different ways of flying. He was saying that one way of flying is you train a pigeon to fly, and then you sit on the pigeon and then you can fly using a pigeon. Another way of flying is using a mantra.
So like that he was explaining. So the reporter asked, like, so if you know that all ways are flying, so why did you travel by this airplane to come to USA? So Prabhupada said, because I want to be one among with you. So this is the nature of a great devotee, that he is actually very sensitive to others. In order to deliver the other conditioned souls, he likes to be one among them. Like once Prabhupada was in Australia, so that time one girl asked Prabhupada that, why did you not come to Australia previously? Huh? Why did you not start the Krishna consciousness movement previously? So Prabhupada said, because you were not born at that time. So Prabhupada was like always sensitive. Similarly, Lord Shiva was also, in order to attract a particular set of people, he actually wore a particular kind of dress in order to attract them to the path of devotional service. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that what is the qualification to worship Lord Vishnu? He is saying that firewood is transformation of earth, but smoke is better than firewood. But fire is still better than smoke. So similarly, tamogun is the lowest gun, ignorance. But passion is better than ignorance. But sattvagun is even better than passion. So if one is in the mode of goodness, then it is like best for the devotional service. But then Prabhupada says, one may say to come to the, so he is putting a condition to take to devotional service, one has to come to the mode of goodness. But then Prabhupada says, but an expert spiritual master is one who can elevate a person from even who is in the even the more from the mode of passion or ignorance, and he can elevate to the topmost platform, even beyond the modes of material nature. So that is the power of an expert spiritual master like Lord Shiva. So this Lord Shiva's glory is explained. How Lord Krishna is even superior to Lord Shiva is explained by Kapil Dev in his instructions on devotional service. Lord Kapil Dev says, Yachrauchanishrita sarid pravarodakena tirtena murdyadikrutena shiva shivobhut dhyatur manashamala shaila nisrishta vajram dhyayet bhagavata dhyayet bhagavata charanaravindam. Kapil Dev is saying that Lord Shiva is known as, the word Shiva means auspicious. The blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more auspicious by carrying the water which washed the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And the lotus feet of Lord Krishna acts like a thunderbolt. And just like saying that our mind is actually filled with the contamination from time immemorial, from many lifetimes. So the dirt within the mind is like a big mountain. So when you want to destroy a mountain, you cannot destroy with ordinary weapons. One needs the help of thunderbolt. Like a devotee was explaining that how in New Vrindavan, like when they were doing some construction, that they had to break a big mountain. So they had to break it in like few things. So it was like big thunderbolt, something, and then automatically the mountain was broken. So to break a mountain, one needs the help of a thunderbolt. So Lord's lotus feet also acts like a thunderbolt. Because our mind is filled with a mountain of dirt. So Prabhupada says, a relationship with the lotus feet of Lord Krishna can enhance even the importance of Lord Shiva than what to speak of others. Lord Shiva is already auspicious, but he becomes all the more auspicious because of coming in contact with the Charanamrita of Lord Krishna. So that is the power of Lord Krishna, that he is even superior to Lord Shiva. So then, there are many people who worship different demigods. But worshipping like one may ask, like, if Lord Shiva is so great, or there are so many other demigods who are also great devotees of the Lord, so why not worship the demigods? So if one worships the Supreme Lord Krishna, there is actually no need to worship the demigods separately. So it is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, sometimes Rupa Goswami actually uses very heavy statements. Apparently, he was one of the principles of 64 principles of devotional services, not avoiding the association of non-devotees. So he gives different quotes for avoiding the association of non-devotees. One of the quote he gives is that one should even avoid the association of demigod worshippers. He quotes from the Vishnu Rahasya. He says, one should prefer to embrace a snake or a tiger or an alligator rather than associate with persons who are worshippers of different demigods. So there may be many people who are worshipping demigods. Rupa Goswami is saying that one should prefer to embrace a snake or a tiger rather than associate with the demigods. One may think like such a heavy fanatic statement, one may think like that. But at the same time, Rupa Goswami gives another principle of devotional services, not to disrespect the demigods. So we actually do not associate with like other non-devotees. It's not that out of fanatism. At the same time, we do not disrespect the demigods. So one should respect the demigods according to the relationship with Lord Krishna, understanding that how they actually get their power from Lord Krishna, and one should respect in that way. Once there was a king, he said, that king got a son. He said that, today I have a son, so I will give whatever charity you may ask. So he declared to the whole citizen. So different people came and then begged like different charities from the king. So finally, the whole treasury got like empty. He was like distributing charity very profusely. So finally, one old lady came. And the king said, actually, I don't have... the king said, like, what do you want in charity? The old lady said, I want you as my son. So there are so many people came and begged took different Lakshmi from the king. But those benefits are temporary. But this old lady, she asked for the benediction that you become my son. So that is like the permanent benediction. So the benefits which we get from the demigods, they are temporary. But the benefits which one obtains from the Supreme Lord, they are permanent. So better to worship the Supreme Lord instead of the demigods. In fact, in the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, when Dhritarashtra says, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yudhsavaha Mamaka Pandavashchaiva Kima Kurvata Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra is asking, What did my sons and Pandavas do? So he is especially wants to know, because he knew that the Arjuna actually got this Pashupatastra weapon from Lord Shiva. So he knew that what is Arjuna doing with that weapon? Is he actually fighting? Because Pashupatastra weapon is a weapon used by Lord Shiva at the time of annihilation. So he's having such a powerful weapon. Is he using that weapon? Is he going to fight? So it is described, when Lord Krishna disappears from this world, Arjuna is remembering Lord Krishna. That time Arjuna is saying that, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, I could even astonish Lord Shiva by my powers. And Lord Shiva became pleased with me in my fight with Lord Shiva. And after that, many demigods also offered benedictions to me. So then Prabhupada explains that there are many devotees of the demigods, but they could not, they were not like when they were not favored by the demigods when the Supreme Lord became angry with them. For example, Ravana was an ardent devotee of Lord Shiva, but Ravana could not be saved by Lord Shiva when Lord Ram became angry. On the other hand, Arjuna is a devotee of Lord Krishna, and he was fighting with Lord Shiva. But even in a fight with Lord Shiva became pleased with Arjuna. So that is the power of a devotee of Lord Krishna. That even in a fight with the Lord Shiva, that Lord Shiva became pleased with a devotee of Lord Krishna. So then, that's why only devotees know how to respect the demigods. So then Prabhupada explains in the purport, he is quoting the verse, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati, saying that how Krishna is always there to protect the devotees. When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Apichet Sudhara Charo Bhajate Mam Ananjabhag Sadhureva Samantavya Samyak Vivasito, he says that even if my devotee commits the most abominable action, he should still be considered a sadhu. So, the acharyas, especially Sridhar Swami, gives in his commentary, quoted in the Surrender Unto Me, he's saying that, Sridhar Swami and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they say that if one may ask the question, if one is corrupted by a very bad behavior, how can he be considered as a sadhu? But then Krishna is saying that, no, he should be considered a sadhu. He's using an injunctive statement, mantavya. He should be considered as a sadhu. Then one may ask, he can be considered as a sadhu to the extent he is acting properly. But to the extent he is committing like abominable activities, he should not be considered as a sadhu. But then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna is saying that, no, he should only be considered as a sadhu. He's using the word eva, sadhur eva mantavya. He should only be considered as a sadhu. Why? Because his determination to serve me is fixed. Because such a devotee thinks that whether I go to hell or heaven, I will continue to serve the Supreme Lord. Because he is fixed in his determination, so he should only be considered as a sadhu. So, then, one may ask the question, Then why do you accept the worship of such an irreligious person? Why do you accept footsteps from such an irreligious person who is also performing such abominable activities? So to answer that, Krishna is saying, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. He quickly becomes righteous. He is especially using the present tense to say that he actually quickly becomes righteous. In fact, like that, such a devotee thinks, after committing an abominable action, he immediately thinks, alas, I have performed such an abominable action, I should be condemned. I am such a bad example for the community of devotees, so there is nobody more fallen than me. Because he is thinking like that, he quickly becomes righteous, so he should only be considered as a sadhu. But then, one may ask the question, okay, if he actually becomes righteous immediately, okay, he can be considered as a sadhu, but what about if such a person continues to perform abominable activities throughout his life? Can he be considered as a sadhu? So then Krishna is speaking with little anger and confidence. He's saying that, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. He's saying that, oh Arjuna, because Arjuna was little apprehensive, because especially the dry logicians, the hard-hearted people, they may doubt the statement of Lord Krishna. So in order to encourage Arjuna, he's saying that you actually take drums and make loud noise and go to the assembly of these dry logicians and declare, raise your arms and declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. So when you make such a confident declaration, then all the doubts of the dry logicians, that will be completely shattered and they will accept you as as the guru. So in this way, Krishna is saying that my devotee never perishes. Krishna is always there to help such a devotee. In fact, Radhana Maharaj was explaining that even a person who considers such a devotee who may commit an abominable sinful activity, who considers such a person as saintly, even such a person should be considered as a saintly. Suppose if a person commits a sinful abominable sinful action, but he is fixed in his determination, but another person considers this devotee as saintly, then this person should be considered as saintly. That is what the acharyas say. So this principle was again very nicely explained in the last Vrindavan Yatra. Maharaj was explaining that how that when Lord Brahma, once he desired to have association with his own daughter, Vak, so that time the sons of Marichi laughed at Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma is the founder of our own sampradaya. Sometimes the great souls, in order to teach lessons, they may perform certain activities. But the sons of Marichi, they laughed at Lord Brahma. So that time Maharaj was explaining that when a great soul commits a mistake, when a person criticizes the mistake of the great soul, that criticism of the mistake of the great soul is taken more seriously by the Lord than the mistake of the great soul. So the sons of Marichi, they laughed at Lord Brahma, but they were cursed to become demons. The Supreme Lord took the mistake of the sons of Marichi, that is the criticism of the Lord Brahma, more seriously than the mistake of Lord Brahma. In fact, Prabhupada writes in that purport, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma was forgiven with very little punishment, but he did not lose his prestige as the great Lord Brahma. So the Supreme Lord, even if the Supreme Lord himself does not humiliate such a person, if he gives only little punishment, how can ordinary devotees criticize the mistake of the great soul? So that is why, like we see, like even like some internets, etc., many devotees who might have performed such wonderful services in the movement of Srila Prabhupada, sometimes like they are criticized, blasphemed. So we see that such culture is not the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. And finally, Prabhupada is explaining that the Lord is, for devotees, there is no scarcity of knowledge or material requisites for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So when a devotee is sincerely trying to serve Krishna, Krishna always actually tries to help such a devotee. Once Devamrit Maharaj was here, he was saying that how when they were distributing books in Russia, once there was a book distributor's meeting in one particular devotee's house. So that devotee is actually son of one particular lady who was in the Russian KGB. So that particular time weekend, because that the devotee's mother was out of station, so they decided to have the meeting at their house. So, but to their surprise, the devotee's mother came for the meeting. So all the people were like completely shocked. So Devamrit Maharaj was there. So that lady came, then she started looking at the face of each and every person. So Maharaj thought, it's like, this is the end of my life, because once they come to know my face, and then I'll be like sent to the like some of the worst prison in the Siberia, like that. So then she started looking each and everyone's face. So when she came to see the face of Devamrit Maharaj, Devamrit Maharaj was saying that there were only stones in her eyes. She actually did not see me at all. So he explaining that how actually Krishna intervenes in the devotees' lives to protect the devotees. Another time when there were in a airport, and he was like going to the airport, like there was already information that such and such person is coming to the airport. The airport officials had the description of all the this particular devotee, Devamrit Maharaj, who was like coming to the airport. But then when he came to the airport, although he was like, his appearance is completely different from all the others. Like he does not have a like white body like the Russians. Although he had such an appearance, but the official was saying that he actually looks innocent. He is not that person. Like that they were saying. So he explained that how devotee is helped by Lord Krishna in such difficult circumstances. But only the only condition where the Supreme Lord does not help a devotee, or when the Supreme Lord does not stop, when stops helping a devotee, is when a devotee commits offense to the devotees. It is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami, in the very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he is actually classifying devotional service into three types: sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So when the Vishnu Chakravarti commenting on this, he's saying that why is actually Rupa Goswami classifying devotional service into three types: sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. He should classify only as two types, that is sadhana bhakti and sadhya bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means devotional service in practice, and sadhya bhakti means devotional service in perfection. But Rupa Goswami classifies as sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So he gives the reason. So prema bhakti is devotional service in perfection, devotional service in full love of God. But what is this bhava bhakti? Bhava bhakti is, the stage of bhava is just before the stage of prema. So bhava bhakti, when one comes to the stage of bhava, one actually experiences Lord Krishna. One sometimes hears the flute of Lord Krishna. One may even have the direct audience of Lord Krishna, etc. So because one experiences the presence of Lord Krishna, so it cannot be considered as part of sadhana bhakti. Because in sadhana bhakti, one does not have direct experience of the Supreme Lord. But but at the same time, bhava bhakti cannot be considered as sadhya bhakti also, because even in bhava bhakti, there are obstacles for a devotee. There are impurities in a devotee. So one may ask, like, how even in the stage of bhava one can have impurities? There are obstacles. So he explains, in fact, all the anarthas, all the sinful reactions which a devotee might have performed in all the previous lives, they are eradicated even before the stage of bhava. All the prarabdha karmas, aprarabdha karmas, etc. But the effects of the effects due to offenses, especially the effects due to Vaishnava aparad, they are strong and long-lasting. So those effects will be there even in the stage of bhava bhakti. Only in the stage of prema bhakti, these effects will be completely eradicated. So that is why even in the stage of bhava, that a person has some obstacles which are only due to offenses. So that is why when Chaitanya Prabhu said, he said that if a person simply chants the holy name and do not offend the devotees, that is actually sufficient for one to go back to garden. There is no need of even other skills. In fact, when Maharaj was explaining in one of the classes, when Chaitanya Prabhu, when Gopal Chappal or Gopal Chakravarti, when he offended Shivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Prabhu he made their progress very fast. He gave all the reactions at once. And then he also gave love of God when they begged forgiveness. When in the episode, when Indra offending Brihaspati, Maharaj was explaining how that when a person commits Vaishnava aparad, that when the devotee is actually dear to the Lord, that the reactions to the offense come very fast. But when the person is not very dear to the Lord, if the reactions are not coming immediately, that means you must know that in the future there must be lot of reactions will come, and they will be long lasting. So that is why if a person simply chants the holy names and do not offend the devotees, then Krishna will definitely help in all the circumstances. So I'll stop here with this. Vendra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.